obviously, because it's our first meeting, one would like to welcome you back. And one can see that you coming back more beautiful and handsome. So I think it's quite important that we actually note that. But further, I think in terms of issues relating to program, we would actually be able to actually have a look on some of those issues tomorrow, because we have actually another meeting tomorrow. One will try and actually just sort of have an update of our administrative part on how we actually look at our agenda. Before you today, we do have a draft agenda circulated. And on the basis of that, I think for the today's meeting, I think what will actually be quite important will actually have an input relating to the briefing. Let me welcome all of you and actually check if ever we do have any apologies from the Secretariat.
Good morning, Chair. I received an apology from Mr. McPherson, who's on party business, as well as Ms. Yakko, who's on party business. I haven't received any other apologies, but members may have received on other members.
For apologies, I think there's no other inputs. We'll note those which the Secretariat confirmed of the two honorable members who have confirmed that they will not be joining us today. So I think in terms of our agenda, we do actually have the briefing by the DTI that will actually be done around the issues of the one-stop shop. And I think that's the main and only issue for our program today. And I was actually hoping that we can then check with members, because obviously after the presentation we'll take questions for clarity and comments. Whatever we do have from members is not actually reflected, it's fine, but that's the nature of our agenda. And we should actually hope to conclude it just before or by one latest. Can I actually hear from the members if you're comfortable that we proceed in that way? Buyana?
Good morning, Chairperson. I think I wanted to check about the issue of discussion after the presentation. Then from there, I propose we adopt the agenda. Thank you.
So you are comfortable that it's a normal approach. We will take presentation comments and questions. Automatically, we do pick up on that. Can I have a second for Ndasha?
I arise to second the adoption of the agenda.
Thank you very much. If ever there's no objection, can I then be able to actually proceed? The briefing by the DTI on the outcomes of the technical workshops on measures to improve the ease of doing business, including the measures to address the visa constraint to investors and on progress regarding the establishment of the outstanding provincial one-stop shop is the title that we actually going to be having or receiving our presentation. But based on the committee engagement in Cape Town Investor State Branch, efforts to improve the ease of doing business in South Africa were highlighted. We did visit the one-stop as the committee, as well as challenge of the offices in some of the more rural provinces, particularly in the Eastern Cape, Free State, and Limpopo. The committee agreed that it would have a follow-up meeting to track whether the challenges highlighted are being addressed. Therefore, the committee will receive a status report on, first point, challenges of experience in the rolling out of provincial investor SA offices. The second point, on the progress and outcome of the technical working committee on measures to improve the ease of doing business, including measures to address visa constraint to investors. We do actually have Mr. Hussein here, who actually would be leading the presentation. We did actually get an indication that there will be also your colleague, Deputy Director Andrews. So I think Mr. Hussein, if you allow, we'll actually be on your hands. If we can actually welcome you and actually ask that you take us through the presentation, and I'm sure we'll then be taking comments and questions after you concluded your presentation. Good morning and welcome. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair, and good morning, members. Good morning, Chair, and good morning, members. Your presentation is in two parts. One would be the work that we are doing on the Ease of Doing Business program, which is the Investment Climate Reform program. And the second part would be an update on the visa and the one-stop shops. Some of the introductory slides are basically on what we do as Investment South Africa in terms of the investment services as a one-stop shop investment agency. But also in slide three is to indicate to you the complexity of the relationship of investment promotion in South Africa from a national and sub-national situation. There are more than 30 agencies in the country doing investment promotion itself. And then to focus on the Ease of Doing Business program, the Ease of Doing Business program is also actually in two parts. The one part is done by the National Treasury, which focuses on the city support program in terms of the capacity of municipalities. And the overall program is done by us, through Invest SA as the overall coordinating unit within government and the presidency. As you're aware, the president, in a previous State of the Nation address, tasked government to improve South Africa's rankings into the top 50. So in March 2019, we formalized a program with the World Bank to look at the indicators. So there are 10 indicators that are ranked or scored. The 11th one is on labor market regulation, which is not scored, so we concentrate on the 10 indicators, and we signed a formal program with the World Bank in 2019 March. So the World Bank Ease of Doing Business program focuses on two areas. One is your score. In this report of the World Bank of the 2021, there were 190 countries, and how do you fare in terms of the score? And South Africa was ranked 84. And the other part of the report focuses on your distance to frontier. So the distance to frontier is also measures how far or how close you are to the best economy. In South Africa's case, we are fairly constant in the distance to frontier. So what the World Bank measures, it measures time, cost, quality, and number of procedures. And when you're looking at the 10 indicators, you look at the policy, the regulatory framework of a country, and the administrative process. So, how, on page 11, we see that countries are coming from a very low base and making reforms, as well as a number of other countries. So, in countries that are now ranked as top reformers, they have embedded this program over a period of 5 years. Also, And what it shows, it's a continuous exercise. It's not a once-off, quick-fix exercise that is done in 1 year. So it's sustained, and this is what we found out. When we adopted the program in March, we created 5 technical working groups for starting a business, property registration, dealing with construction permits, paying taxes, and trading across borders. That's the way we found where we can make, in terms of an action plan of the World Bank, in 6 and 8 months and 18 to 24 months, we can make some impact. The other 5 indicators, besides the one getting electricity, are more policy regulatory ones, which are more long-term issues that we can resolve. So if you look at it, South Africa is ranked 84, but it's quickly been outperformed by countries from a low base, such as Mauritius, Rwanda, and Kenya. And as I said, they're starting with reforms from a low base. And on slide 13 gives you a snapshot of this current scenario in South Africa. If you can see, as I said, South Africa's ranking is 84, but our distance to frontier is 65.4. And if you look at the one in blue is the one that we started to work on. So we've been working full on 1 year. These technical working groups are a combination of the private sector, practitioners, government, all the government departments, as well as the state-owned entities. And we've been working basically on a week-to-week basis to see what are the areas that we can fix and reform on these indicators. But also what this program is also on 2 parts. It's what government can make as a reform, but equally it's what is the uptake by the private sector. So private sector engagement has to be deep. And not only that, what we find when we get into the technical working group or the sensitization workshops is there's always a misinterpretation in the private sector. Because the World Bank does its survey, and the cycle for the reports is pretty short. It's about 9 months, because the report is released in October. You have a short window in which government can respond to the survey, but that survey has to be validated by the private sector. And when I mean the private sector is the practitioners. For example, in the trading across borders, it would be the freight forwarders. In registering property, it would be the conveyances. So we also do a lot of advocacy and sensitization in the private sector, because I'll go into a couple of them where we picked up these anomalies in the interpretation of the private sector respondents itself. We will now, in this year, look at the other indicators in green, from 6 to 10, particularly the one on the getting electricity. And that doesn't focus on ESCOM. It relates to, in a municipality, how you will get your electricity connection. So those are the administration processes in getting electricity. For example, in the city of Johannesburg, COJ, it will be city power. You will look how city power gives you the process for connection. So in the slide 14, on the 5 indicators, we've highlighted what are the areas required in terms of the action plan. I said 6 to 8 months and 8 months and above. Which are the institutions that are involved, or government entities involved, and what is the progress made? So under 5 indicators that we worked on, each one of them, there's an action implementation plan, and what we need to do in the short term, and medium to long term, and what we have done so far. So if you take the first indicator is starting a business. Now this is the most competitive indicator across the board. Because anyway, anybody that comes in even into the program of the World Bank, the first thing they want to know is how quick can they start a business in South Africa. And South Africa, in the current situation, in the current report, we are ranked 139, and that should not be the case. So what we've done is that the process to start a business in South Africa is as follows. You need to register with CIPC, you need to register with SARS, you need to register with UIF, you need to register with compensation fund, and then you get the bank account with the private sector. So these are 7 steps and takes 40 days in South Africa. What we've done is that we've now gone through a paperless system. We've done a burst portal. It's burstportal.gov.za, and this is a total automated platform. So what it means is that domestic companies in South Africa, today, you can register a company in 1 day or less. So that is the progress we've made. So you brought UIF, Compensation Fund, CIPC, and SARS. Equally, you got the banks that are linked to it. So seamlessly, in one process, you can do all this. We also, from our perspective, is that we look at the World Bank program. It's not only exact science. We also look at how we can do whatever we do would be for the benefit of the citizens. So we've also added domain name. You can do your domain name registration on the portal. You can also get your BE certificate. So it's added the things that we've done. So if you look at page 17, in page 17, the process flow for this portal, which is, there's no www, it's burstportal.gov.za. The mobile application, that is the process flow, within half a day, the company is registered. So now, this is what government is doing. This has to be rolled out into the private sector for a full marketing and PR campaign, that the uptake of the private sector is indeed what we are saying it's 1 day. And then when the World Bank does its survey, hopefully we get it in this year, because this year's report meeting will come out in October, but it closes off in April. So private sector, who are respondents to the survey, has to validate that this is indeed 1 day, then only the ranking goes up. It's not what government says. So if you look then on page 16, the work that we've embedded in the model that we've followed, we've gone through a paperless system now. This is totally automated, bringing different entities such as UIF, Compensation Fund. So the front office is on the portal. We now need to make sure that the back office is working and functioning well, and roll this out in its entirety to the private sector. And here I'm certain that within this year and next year, this ranking is going to improve. And it will make it easier, and then we can add more bells and whistles to the BIS portal. But that's the kind of work that we've done. And it has taken quite a bit of time, because we worked with very different entities in the state. Each one has its own IT system, budget, this thing, but It is, the BIS portal is indeed one of the flagships in terms of what we aim to reform, and we're happy that it's come down. What I can inform members is that we did a soft launch in November for the BIS portal. And to date, it changes every day, but since Friday, we registered 5,863 companies within 1 day. And within 1 day, they got SR certificate, those that applied for the B certificate commit, as well as there were 517 registrations for UIF and compensation fund. So the portal's working. Now we have to fully roll it out. So that's one of, I think, the major steps that we've done. Then going through the other indicators like paying taxes, you can see what is our current rank. It's 54. Where we aspire to be, that's on page 19. We want to be in the rank of 25. So in terms of the steps and the processes.
But if you know the gender, the multitasking is easier. Yeah, for him
So if we look at paying taxes, right? Yeah, we've done well in the sense since 1994, SARS made a lot of reforms, but we're looking at other things in which SARS can do. For example, reducing the time in terms of a VAT claim and VAT audits. In terms of SARS, doing a lot of advocacy and improving its customer service. So what the World Bank also does is it looks at transparency, access to information, how you put it out, how you communicate to your clients and so forth. So those are some of the things that we want to do with SARS. In the paying taxes, and then what we've achieved with SARS. SARS has done a service charter, it's improved its customer service, it's updated its website, and then ongoing what SARS is doing is to improve the turnaround time for VAT refund, doing financial literacy for SMEs and so forth. So that's the second indicator. The third indicator is in registering a property. Here, as you recall, the president signed the electronic deeds registration system, the EDRS, bill in September 2019. That has paved the way for the deeds modernization program. And that will be at least a 5-year program done by the department itself. And it also works in terms of the National Deeds Office. You have a property registration in the province as well as in the municipality. So there's different institutions that have to work to get that done. But on this indicator, what we've done is two things. The department itself is now has a modernized its website, provides up-to-date information, which improves the transparency of the information. But we've done the city of Johannesburg in this overall ease of doing business exercise. The city of Johannesburg is a proxy for South Africa's economic hub. The city of Johannesburg is responsible for at least three indicators. The one is registering property, construction permit, and getting electricity. What we need to do is, in order for South Africa's ranking to improve, we first need to fix the city of Johannesburg. And what we're doing there is that once we get those things right, we can easily, through the peer-to-peer capacity building program, transform those into other municipalities. So since the November, we've been able to talk to the new mayor and launch an E-rates clearance certificate. And that has been a soft launch in which we've already done about 5,700 E-rates clearance certificates, and 98% of that has been done in 24 hours. So that again has to be an object by the private sector. In this case, in the COJ, City of Johannesburg, there are 2,000 conveyances. That has to reach down to them, and they have to get that. Similarly, in the work this year, we will automate the construction permit, as well as we will simplify the getting electricity procedures for the city of Johannesburg. So we have a plan, a program now to work with the city of Johannesburg over the next year or two. So those are some of the achievements on the producing a property. Then just to give you an idea, on the construction permit. So also the 10 indicators, each one has a study or a survey. In this case, with the construction permit, you're looking at a warehouse in which they're evaluating in the city of Johannesburg. And you can see on the right-hand side, this is 25% is the cost, 25% is the quality of the land administration, 25% in procedures, and 25% in time. That's what the World Bank measures. So within this year, want to have an automated construction permit system. in the COG. So this is the kind of work that we've agreed to on the e-clearance certificate with the COG, and then the EDRS is for the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform. And that, I think, is a huge exercise over the next 5 years to modernize it. Currently, at the National Office or the Deeds Office, everything is manual. So that would take a little time to do that process. Firstly, what we can unpack and make easier in terms of procedures, and then to look at how we can automate that process. So, yeah, but just to give you a quick snapshot, this is what the Deeds Office has done. It has provided updated and useful information which improves the transparencies to people that are buying and selling property. And then just what I mentioned earlier, in going through e-rights clearance certificate in the COJ, 5,772 certificates were issued, and 98% of that within 24 hours. Once you get this right, it's easy then to put it to other municipalities. So it's a big program that we intend to do, and we're also putting a help desk in the COJ to help the conveyances in terms of the turnaround time for the e-rights clearance certificate. Then the next indicator is one that will take a little bit of time. It's the one that is on trading across borders, and it deals with two parts. It deals with two parts in a sense. It deals with import and export of goods, as well as the inspection of goods. So it looks at the efficiencies in terms of the port, the railroad system, and inspections. Currently in South Africa, when goods are imported into the country, there are many organs of state or entities that deal with inspections. You have SARS, you have SAPS, you have agriculture, forestry, fishery permits, then you have organizations that do, or agencies that do technical inspections like SAD and NRCS. So each one is a different process, different time, different cost. What we need to get to is a single inspection process in South Africa. And that's why I said that will take time in terms of getting different entities together and to work together and to do such inspection. But what we found out, surprisingly for us, is that's why I say the role of the private sector, in particularly private sector respondents to the survey. In South Africa's case, for the trading across borders, the survey is in respect of how would you export and import a vehicle. In the case of DeSoto, it's how would you export wool to China, which is pretty simple. Automotive vehicle is a little bit complex. But what we picked up is that the practitioners, meaning the freight forwarders, put a requirement that it's 72 hours for the vehicle to be stacked at the port. When we got the technical working group together, it's only a requirement by Transnet that the vehicle needs to be stacked at the port for 24 hours. So between 72 and 24 hours is a big time difference. So we have to go back to the private sector to say this is not the case. Transnet had to issue a notice to say this is not the case. So what we're doing now is informing, so there's a lot of advocacy and change management, both in government and in private sector, to get things going. So we've now informed the industry that this is the case, translated this year notice. We now need the World Bank to validate this. Right? So, and also what needs to happen is that the case respondents from the private sector, you need to, sometimes it's somebody that was doing this 10, 15 years ago. So we've asked the World Bank also to update the private sector respondents itself. So that, I think, more long-term is the issues of the port efficiencies and the inspections, but the quick win would be from 72 to 24 hours. I think that's something that we can easily gain on. then going on to the construction permits, as I said, we ranked 98. It takes 20 steps and 155 days in South Africa to do this warehousing study. We're pretty confident that if South Africa does this, an automated construction permit, we can move the ranking from 98 to 7. And that's easily doable. And looking at the work that we've done now with the COJ since November, we have achieved, put a temporary one-stop shop in place. We have done the soft launch, and now we have to do a full launch in terms of the E-rate clearance certificate. But what we also found out is that the construction permit procedures differs from municipality to municipality. It's different time, different process, and different costs. And we want to uniform that. And we want to, the standard that we want to that needs to be implemented is the SANS 10400 standard. Because what we find out is that people are using different standards. You go on YouTube, you download a standard, and that's where you find in cases like in KZN where buildings have collapsed. So you also want to, so the work is deeper than what we thought about. We also want to harmonize the standard and ensure that municipalities are empowered and trained on the SAS 10400. So this is the work plan that we've cut out to work with is the COJ in the city of Johannesburg between now and June to work on the construction permit. And once we get this right, inform the private sector, and this can only be then done in the next report. But it just shows you, as I was saying, 5,772 EEs clearance certificate issued within 24 hours, and now we're going to full out roll out the E-rate clearance in the COJ. And then also the other areas in terms of the standards and the values management, what we will be doing and what we've done for construction permits. And then this one we are now going to start to work on this year, which is the getting electricity and how we can improve the number of procedures, time and costs in particularly city power for the getting electricity, and then we will can roll this out similarly to other municipalities in the country. So in terms of the progress, what I think is that the work is quite complex, it's very detailed, it's also technical. We've started building the building blocks. And we've done a number of now stakeholder workshops with the private sector to inform private sector of exactly what we're doing, where we are, and for example, now we've got a big PR campaign for the BIS portal to roll that out to the private sector, to roll the e-clearance certificate out to the private sector. So we started doing the building blocks, and as I said, this is a continuous improvement. It has to be a deep collaboration between government and private sector. And what you can see, like on the right hand side at the top, is how the deeds office is now providing a more quality access to information to people that are buying and selling property. So that's more transparent, and that's what the World Bank looks at. The other areas of focus will be in doing an electronic deeds registration with the department, and as I said, automation of the construction permit program. So, and then these are some, and not all of the stakeholders that we've consulted in government, in the private sector, and this is a report that we report every quarter to the cabinet on the process and progress that we are making on the Ease of Doing Business program. So what I think is that there's a lot we still need to do. There's a lot that we've done. And that, if it will come out, hopefully in the next, some of the reforms will come out in the next ease of business report and the future reports. So these are what some of the recommendations and actions that we require or have done to move the current work that we are doing into a next phase on these five indicators. And then moving, I think I'm moving to the one-stop shop and visa part of the presentation, and then I think we can take questions on the entirety of the presentation. As you're aware, we invest, South Africa is part of the equation in terms of facilitation and aftercare, provides a one-stop shop approach on investment, that is to look into areas where we can fast-track, unblock, and reduce red tape in government. The ease of doing business is part of that process, but this is more on practically how you would facilitate investment into the country. These are the agencies or government departments that are involved in the one-stop shop. How the one-stop shop program started is that the Minister of Trade and Industry informed every premier and MEC that we intend to do a one-stop shop in the province. The first phase, we've done the one-stop shop in Gauteng, Western Cape, and KZN, and now we're moving into the provinces itself. This is the process. Once we get an acknowledgement from the Premier and the MEC to inform us this is the identified agency or body in the province to work with, we have an implementation model in how we start the process of briefing the province, project management, stakeholder management, right up to the launch and operation. And what we've learned from the three one-stop shops that we launched in the provinces is that it takes at least 12 months. Good stakeholder management, bringing all tiers of government and agencies together, which includes local government, special economic zones, economic development agencies, investment agencies together. This is the ones that are in operation at the moment, the KZN, Western Cape and Gauteng one, as well as we have one in Pretoria at the national office. This shows you the consultations, for example, in the Eastern Cape, many different institutions, even the Chamber of Commerce gets consulted. Eastern Cape Development Corporation, the two special economic zones, and the municipalities get consulted, and we form a steering committee which helps the province in terms of how we would look at the different areas, the roles and responsibilities in terms of facilities, finance, ICT, marketing and communications. We'll put in an operational structure with the province to assist them in terms of facility, stakeholder, ICT, marketing, communications. So it's a very broad stakeholder consultation on it. We've done a manual which provides the one-stop shop in the provinces on how to do it, how to do the marketing and communication, brand, look and feel. And also, a lot of the advertising, PR, marketing information. But also, I think for members, is what we've done new is that Investors Aid, on our website, investorsaid.gov.za/publications, in which we publish a investor roadmap, which I hopefully your members have this book. It gives you how you can practically invest in South Africa, as well as investment case, and you'll find 16 sectoral value propositions. this is information that we give to the one-stop shop and the provinces and everybody, investors, both foreign and domestic. And just to show you, to indicate you, this is available online. Tells you on every sector who you need to talk to, how you would be able to invest in the country, who are the agencies, who are the government department, what it would cost you. So there's 16 value propositions there. So 16 sectoral value propositions, including the investor roadmap and the business case of South Africa. So this also goes to, as part of the marketing collaboration collateral to the provinces. And here is what I think we needed to update the committee on from the past session we had there at the Westco, is the update on Eastern Cape, Northern Cape and Limpopo. We have made progress in the sense that the sites are now being developed and refurbished, and we're looking forward between quarter one and quarter two to launch at least two, meaning the Eastern Cape and Northern Cape, and to launch Limpopo within the year. Those three one-stop shops we're looking to launch this year, and possibly within the financial year we can launch another one. And then to inform the members of the work that we do, I think what we've enhanced is the work on the unblocking area, which deals with the facilitation and reducing red tape. We also will implement the CRM system to help the provinces from national government in terms of the investment leads and investment project management, and to look at how we've been able to unblock. So I think we've enhanced the capacity of the work in terms of unblocking. We deal with a full range of unblocking issues, from municipal facilitation to immigration, licensing permits, and so forth. And just to give you a quick example, in December, we got a call from one of the investors, that's Nestle in the Buffalo City municipality, which complained about the hygiene and the standard outside the premises. We were able to talk to the Buffalo City municipality, and within one day that was cleared out. So the unblocking goes down to a very minute details. So it's very quite a bit of unblocking that we do, and on a quarter basis, a number of things that we've been able to unblock. What we've done on the visa side is that there are various categories of work permits and visas. So we've set up an interdepartmental committee, which also the visa or work permits also impacts on the Department of Employment and Labor. So we set up a three-way committee at the level of a DDG to look at how we can fast track or look at issues that have been unblocked on a daily basis, and meet once a month to see how we can look at improving the visa situation of the country. And also we've been able to work with the Department of Home Affairs as well as the Department of Higher Education to look at the critical skills visa, which the Department of Home Affairs will publish in the quarter one of this year. So we have a mechanism now with the Department of Home Affairs in which we can look at how we can unblock the various categories of visas. But more so to look at this from an earlier on, because a lot of times you find people that are in the country, they have different categories of permits. And it becomes difficult for them then to change into the right categories. From the onset, then we want to inform and advise investors to work with a unit that we have within Investment South Africa that deals with visas, on investment facilitation that can provide them the proper advice on how to, on which category of permit and how to do it, and then facilitate it for them with the Department of Home Affairs. So that is a process that we've now embedded as at, it's at the level of a DDG, and we meet once a month, and where there are issues on a daily basis, we're able to flag it and facilitate it and fast track it with the Department of Home Affairs. I've gone through a lot of presentations very quickly, but I think you have more questions to ask, and I'll be happy to do so.
Thank you very much, Mr. Wilson. Honorable members, in the order of Carter, Mulder, Chau, and Mantashe, Mbuyane, and Mwase, and the Chief of All. So it's actually all the members that would like to contribute. Let me start with you, Carter, that order.
Thanks very much, Chair. Chair, I just want to find out, there's also a measure in the Isogen business report that says how many reforms have been initiated. Do we have that amount of reforms that have been initiated since the working group started its work? And then secondly, one thing that was omitted from the beginning of the presentation is the fact that we've remained at the exact same spot. So in 2019 we were at 84, in 2020 we were at 84 as well. And I think that's something, you know, quite telling to say that we haven't moved even one shift of the dial over a period of a year. Because if this was announced in 2018 by the President, then surely there would have been some kind of action prior to these initiatives that are still to be rolled out. And then I just wanted to make another point, Jen, that is that until we secure property rights, make sure that we have a proper supply of electricity, and ensure that we have policy certainty in place, the overall investment climate and environment is not going to change very much. And I think those are things that definitely need to be looked at with other departments in government to make sure that there's a coherent approach that actually aims towards channeling investments into the country and making sure that it's that it rolls out the red carpet for people to come and create jobs and expand our economy. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Chair,
I'll thank you for the presentation and all the efforts made. I think it's important, applaudable and very important. I just want to find out the following. Are some external factors influencing the effort to make progress from position 84 to 50? And there are some external factors that you can't do anything about. What I want to know is how heavy does this external factors way, considering the fact that South African business confidence has slumped to the lowest in 34 years, according to the South African Chamber of Business and Commerce. What effect that will that have in really for you to be able to make your way up to 50? And then another thing is, as far as volumes are concerned, we're all aware of the fact that the South African economy is under pressure. The volume of businesses, companies deregistered, etc., etc. Do you find that the volumes of the need that you need to address is it declining, or is it getting more? Thank you.
Thanks, I have only two questions. One, can we get an update on establishment of one-stop shops in three provinces, Mpumalanga, Northwest and Free State? And then secondly, do you have a marketing strategy that we can use in provinces so that all the departments can understand the importance of being involved in the establishment of one-stop shops?
Thank you, Chairperson. I sympathize with my colleagues from the GA, because it is only when they can by just in government that they would understand that improving on standards and everything doesn't happen overnight. but for now they can't understand that. They would expect everything to be done as tomorrow, which we all desire, but practically it is not possible. Tata Mandela once said, it is only once we have climbed some mountains that we could understand that there are still more mountains to climb beyond that, and they will learn as they go. Chairperson, I have a few questions to pose. One, I would love to know what challenges and lessons they have learned in establishing the one-stop shop center, because I understand that you will be, yes, you started here, and you have rolled out and you have learned lessons on challenges that you have encountered. And we want to know the advocacy work that you're doing, are there any statistics of which areas, which provinces, how many businesses or sectors that we have gone to for the advocacy program? And what challenges are you encountering in coordinating government departments and entities about this program of ease of doing business in South Africa? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me appreciate the hard work that Invest SA is doing, and we recognize that there are challenges that underpins their work and the progress. But we will hear the response on the Honourable Cuthbert's question why we're still at the same position, because if we are saying that the other countries like Kenya and Rwanda and Mauritius, does it mean that we are worse than them, or is it because we are being judged against countries that come from a low base? I also want to know the future projections that you are doing on ranking. What are the factors that underpin that, and what is the weight of those factors? Because I see in some cases, for instance, in the registering a property, we're saying we want to move to 44 from 108, and in most cases, your future ranking is like, you know, it's quite a few points away from where we are at the moment. And what is the period within which we want to reach the ranking, the next, your future ranking? But overall, thank you for the good work done by Invest SA.
One thing, and then we'll
take
the last one.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. Mine is on the issue of governance delay in the processes when coming to the provinces. Then I want to know, how are you dealing with these delays? And also, you mentioned issue of capacity building that is needed in the department. And then I just want to know, how can you capacitate the department? And on the information sharing with the people in the provinces, do you have a program or that can go outside the office and reach the people on the ground, especially in the provinces, to get more information about the one-stop center services? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I think my first question, let me also appreciate the presentation. I think the ACGP certainly values the work
and the input that has been done. Of course, this is what is needed to help turn the economy around. But my first question would be, why has it taken so long, Chair? Simple question, but why has it taken so long? 7 years ago, I visited Rwanda. And 7 years ago, when we visited Rwanda, they already had one day in which businesses were able to register, 7 years ago. So 7 years later, we are now only implementing what Rwanda has been doing 7 years ago. So why has it taken so long? Secondly, could you just unpack on page 13, you said ranking is volatile, but distance to frontier is a more objective indicator. What is distance to frontier? And then my last question, Chair, is how does your EIAs within municipalities across the country affect the ease of doing business through environmental impact assessments? Thank you.
I'll be back to you, Sam.
Thank you, Chair and members. In terms of the ease of doing business, for us it's an indicator, it's not an exact science. And what we found also is that the methodology can be questioned. And particularly in the starting of business indicator. For example, why you mentioned it has taken so long and we're right at 84. When we first did CIPT template reforms, we actually thought that we'd be able to make those inroads and subjects in this year's report you'll be able to improve. But we went down to a granular level. The people that fall in the private sector survey actually didn't validate that. What it was, there were like 7 private sector respondents. It was one person that was did the company registration 10 years ago manually. So that person responded to the survey and said, it's a manual process, but it's not a manual process. So the World Bank doesn't listen to you, this is what the private sector validates. So that's why we had to, in the course of the work, when you pick up these things and you have to say, look, you have to go and sensitize the private sector itself. Now, also in the private sector, you have to do change management in government, you have to do change management in the private sector itself. You would recall when CIPC started automating, at the national DTI, every day before that, we had a queue of 200 to 500 people just registering for company registration. Similarly, when you start doing an e-rates clearance certificate, you cut up the role of a conveyancer. When you cut out the role of a conveyancer, you're cutting out the role of a private sector person that has an income. So when that person initially writes on the survey, it's not a manual process. So you come back to rank 84. So our job is not only to fix it in government, but also to speak to the World Bank also to say, who are these private sector respondents? Are they responding correctly? For example, we know now on the trading across borders, private sector's response to the survey was the stacking for the vehicle to reach the port was 72 hours. That's why you constantly wasn't. So you have to change this thing in partnership with the private sector. So one is you have to do the reforms. We now know we've done some reforms. And these reforms are in the indicators which you see achieved. But also the World Bank changes every year, the survey. It's not the same as every year. They add a few things and it's not the same the next year. Also what might happen is that now you have 10 indicators. In the next year or two, you'll have 11 or 12 indicators. And you'll have labor market regulations as one of the indicators that will come out. That may then determine whether South Africa goes up or down. But our job is to overall improve the investment climate for the benefit of the citizens of the country, irrespective of our ranking. And I think the work that has been done on the starting of doing business is is part of the, what we can learn as best practice to impart to other indicators in the future of this work program itself. So I am quite confident that even the reforms or the numbers that we put on that we want to get by this ranking in so and so year, it's assuming things are constant, that no other country is reforming, that you will get to that figure. And that you will know the current read in 190 countries. And what the World Bank shows you, for example, in Rwanda's case, they went first as a new up-and-coming developing country. They digitized this process straight away. Immediately, that ranking shot up. So the ranking is there, but you got to look at it and say how best it can work for South Africa. So it's a relative thing. Right? But we are cognizant that you have to be in this game of 190 countries and you have to reform. But we always looked at a number of issues. We also challenged the starting of a business indicator with the World Bank. Now, to come back to say, what is the earlier on I said that the ease of business program gives you a doing business ranking. The distance to frontier is a more reliable ranking in the sense that it shows you how far you are from the best. And in this distance to frontier, South Africa has more or less been constant, and it's not far off. That means if a country, for example, New Zealand, in the starting of business indicator may be ranked 80 or 90, it shows you then in our ranking of starting of doing business, South Africa is ranked 81.2. They're not far from the best. That's what the distance to frontier shows, right? Now, what we see is that in the one-stop shop, the one-stop shop is primarily, it's for investment. The objective of the one-stop shop is for investment. When we talk about volumes, we have a report that we do every quarter on the flow in terms of the lease management, how many unblocking we do, that sort of thing, for the three one-stop shops that we have and the national one-stop shop that we have in Pretoria. So we have those details. What we find is that when I was asked, are the volumes decreasing? Volumes, given the economy and number of companies going into business rescue and job losses, that is there. But what we're seeing is that people or investors, both domestic and foreign, are coming to say, does this, I'm making this investment, does this the issue I have, or does this the problem I have, or does this the challenge I have, can you resolve it for me? We see that increasing, that volume increasing. So, and so there's a greater role for us to beef up and capacitate is what we're doing, the aftercare program of investment. So you can unblock and fast track in this thing. So also what has happened is that if we call the presidency created two things late last year before the conference. One was the presidency appointed and we are helping to set up the Investment and Infrastructure Office to look at how we coordinate cohesively and align in terms of bulk infrastructure and setting up an infrastructure fund. So with that office, we've been able to work then cohesively together with the district model on the municipality, in this case, the city of Johannesburg. And we've been able then to put in a program over a year of how we can then fix the city of Joburg, mainly in those three items, the wage clearance certificate, the construction permit, and reducing the procedures for getting electricity. So we're working in that office. Then the presidency, as part of this, has also created an unblocking office that works together with us. So unblocking on the policy level. And what you saw in the SONA was the announcement that water users licenses will now be done in 90 days. So that's the program of work that we've done. What we're now going to do is look at EIH. For example, in the city of Johannesburg or in Gauteng, you can get an EIA between 3 to 4 months. Right? The rest of the country varies. Right? But if Gauteng can do it, others can do it. That's the best practice or peer-to-peer thing that we have to do. Because what we did is, for example, in the Swane automotive zone, this project was being there for a number of years. But within 6 months, we have been able to unpack and fast-track all the regulatory approvals. So we were able to do that. So that's, I would think, in the short to medium term, is for us to tackle the EIA. We've now done the water usage license. We need to see this process works, it's efficient, it's effective, and that's fine. The EIA is the next one for us to look at. And how we can do that. So, some of the challenges that we see is also in the capacity all around the state at all levels, but also in certain areas governance, and then that's how we've been able to work with our CFO and working with the CFO of those entities to try and mitigate how the governance, for us, the governance structures is no, it will not move if the governance structures is not in place. So that's how we've been able to work with the I would just say the provinces in Africa. But what we're also doing is that with the National Treasury that does the city support program, so this particular ease of doing business report comes out yearly. It comes out every 2 years for cities. So the cities report will be the next report that will come out. But in that cities report, what we do is a lot of peer-to-peer learning and capacity building. So Mangaung, for example, is good in getting electricity connection. So we can replicate that in another city or other cities. So that's how we're trying to capacitate and help the municipalities itself. And in setting up the infrastructure and investment office, there's a big focus now on how we would assist municipalities in bulk infrastructure. And as I said, if we are able, for example, to get automated rates clearance certificate, automated construction permit, that can be done by any other municipality. It's a process that you just have to replicate and make it easier. So it's not only the COJ, it comes down to every other municipality that you can do that with. So I think those are some of the features of the work that we are doing. There's a number of lessons that you're learning because it's very different areas and that sort of thing. In terms of where we're looking at the other provinces, the three provinces that you mentioned, we're quite far down the road to Free State on the one-stop shop. We have spoken to Mpumalanga. There were changes in the agency. So Mpumalanga is also, the process has started. They are making some inroads. The one that is at a fairly infant stage is anomalous, and that will become the work that we will do this year with the Northwest province itself. But also, what in doing the exercise, we work with the province to see, help them, facilitate, capacitate them in density of readiness. We also have to look at the national partners that we work with, what is their state of readiness. The national government involved in terms of capacity and how you would roll on. That's why we'd be very keen to do the first three in Eastern Cape, Limpopo, and Northern Cape, and to possibly do another one and then do two for the next financial year. So I think that we had a number of briefings with the private sector. And private sector is quite open and keen to get involved. The one aspect, I think, is that, and the main aspect is that, to get down to who are the respondents to the survey of the World Bank. Because we can do everything, we can get everything right. But if the people that respond to the survey don't do it accurately and appropriately, your ranking will never go up. So it's a deep collaboration with the private sector itself. I don't know if I answered everybody.
Maybe one would like just to indicate that the issues that we may not have raised, just on my part, just comments. Largely, it will be more on the location of those strategic areas, mainly when you talk about the quotas. The issue of accessibility might be a big issue. So I was just thinking, maybe speaking to unblocking, that there may be issues we may have to look at in terms of just public awareness, because there's one point, because there's lots of very important information and communication, because I was looking at the booklet that we actually have here to say it may be good information, but how far it goes and how we actually try and facilitate that communication is something that's very strategic. Further, I think if you look at across government spheres, you know, we do have province, we've got municipality, we've got actually national level, on how we actually can be able, in line with unblocking, which we're actually raising, to have actually a very effective way on how we communicate, just supporting one project, so that if ever there's an issue which actually bring other spheres, we are able to actually deal with that. But the final point, which is quite important as well, might be issue of the interdepartmental work, because there will be lots of work that we do across departments, and coordination and communication across is actually quite vital. And you might find in most cases, in line with unblocking, it may be something that can be able to work around. So let me note the Honorable Member Faith J. Cox, who's Whip of Small Business. We do actually encourage our committee members to actually, particularly on the economic cluster, to be able to actually come and support. I actually note your hand, Carbeck. You wanted to make a comment.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Chair, I may have missed it, but I did ask how many, the total number of reforms initiated over the year. I may have missed it. My head's a little bit moggy today from the cold. And so that's just the one thing. And then secondly, Chair, it's all fine and well to go and attack the methodology of the report, but the fact is that other countries are meant on the same report. So it's a little bit disingenuous to do that because we're not doing well. Let's just be honest and take ownership of the fact that poor decisions have been made and the right steps haven't been taken as we. I think that we should just level with one another. It doesn't help to come and bamboozle the committee. I think that insults our intelligence.
And having noted that, are there any further comments from the honourable members? Have there's any further comments? Natasha? Then we actually come back to Hussein.
We appreciate the progress that we are observing. in line with what the president said in the 2018 summit. We are mindful of the agency that it is deserving in as far as the ease of doing business in South Africa is concerned. But we applaud the work done so far, and we wish they can pull up their socks and do it faster. Especially the advocacy work to all stakeholders, Chairperson, so that we can read from the same page. Thank you, Chair.
Is the right one to comment?
No, thanks, Chair. I think just another comment I want to make is that some of the lessons that we learned in rolling out the one-stop shop. The first phase was for us to put in a physical one-stop shop of people to manage the one-stop shop. We now know that if we have automated this bus portal, we don't need to put a person in a particular one-stop shop because it's available on the app. So we just need a kiosk in a one-stop shop. So some of the lessons that we are learning, we change the model as we move along. I think we're very cognizant about the report and the discussions that we've had with the World Bank. And all countries have faced the same scenario. They ask the same questions to the World Bank. It's not only South Africa, is unique. Because I've been in sessions with the World Bank with a number of countries. The questions are pure same in terms of the methodology. What we since formalizing the program in 2019, we now know what is it that the World Bank is looking for you to improve the ranking. And as I said, it's for us, the one equation that was missing in the past 2 years was the respondents of the private sector to have a much more deeper relationship and partnership with them, so that whatever we do, it works in that cycle, that you actually do get the benefit and the reward of the work that you do if you are in sync with the private sector. So I think that, as I would say, we have started the building blocks, and we would want to, as I said, the cycle of World Bank is a very short cycle in which you have to do the reform, complete the survey with the private sector, validate it, and then it ends up in April, and that's it. If you haven't got any reforms in by April, you have to get into the following year. So some of the reforms that we've made is in the starting of doing business. It's now a total digital platform. That's a reform that if we have to do a lot of PR and communication, that the private sector indeed gets the uptake and validates it and puts it in the report. Hopefully we can get it in this coming year's report, and that would be a significant improvement. E-rate clearance certificate, that's a reform that we've done. It's at the pilot stage, we need to fully roll it out, and it will not get into the next year's report, but the following year's report. The changing of the issue with the trading across borders, in terms of the stacking time that we inform the private sector to do that. And then there's a lot of reforms that is in the presentation. But those reforms, you have to then get deeper to actually then get the reform in the World Bank. For example, the process of the deeds office, if you modernize the website, you made it accessible, you've improved the quality of the information, it's more transparent. That's the start of a process to get your reform. It will not get you a point. It's part of 125 and you've got to build up to get the reform. So that's what I'm saying. We started the building blocks. It's not something that would be done overnight. I have been tracked, for example, what India. India started their reform program in the first term of Prime Minister Modi. It's making significant impact in his second term. So it has to be a concrete, deep program that you run over 5 years and above and more to see the actual impact of these reforms. It's not something that will come overnight. Thanks.
Can I then just say it's the final round, if ever there are any further comments so that we can actually conclude. If ever there are any further comments, I see covered. Any other further comments from honourable members? Buyane? Okay. So can I actually take those two hands? Covered?
Thank you, Chair. There was quite a roundabout way to just get a pure number, but what it seems to me is that the BIS portal, which is the most recent one, has not been lodged in the 2020 report. Now, just to provide the committee with some kind of information, in the 2020 report, the leader in reforms is Colombia, also a developing economy. They managed to put together 37 reforms in the space of one appraisal period. So if you look at our performance versus that, I'm sure you can make your minds up for yourself.
Thank you, Chair. I'm tempted to engage the presentation in terms of the provinces that are left outside. Can we get at least clarity, like on page 50, because on page 52, there's one stop shop that has been there, and that is in terms of progress, summary, Eastern Cape, blah, 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 the punishing and stuff. Can we get also the ones that have been engaging with in terms of Malanga, the state, and the Northwest as well? We get a sketch like this so that we understand exactly where are we in terms of the problem. Maybe at some stage, somehow, we can be able to deal with those bottlenecks that you raised, the issue of governance. But it will be proper for you at least to have a column that speaks to those provinces that you are still engaging. And also on the as you have already established some of those stop shops, can you briefly give us maybe challenging lessons learned around so that you are able to at least to encapsulate and understand exactly what is.
So I'll be correct to ask Mr. Houston to conclude in terms of the final comments you've made. And I'm sure there was actually a reference to those specific three provinces that were actually seen as not being taken care of. You actually mentioned two being done and one outstanding. But I think Honourable Member Mutabu spoke about the other additional provinces. So I'm just saying it will be actually quite important just to see how you extending that kind of exposure relating to those hubs that you actually set up. So can I then give back to you, Mr. Hussain?
Thank you, Chair. We'd be happy to provide you a schedule for where we are with the six, let's just call it the six one-stop shops, six provinces, because we just listed the 3 year because we wanted to indicate that these three are going to be done this year. So happy to give you a schedule of where we are with all six. So I think you provide you with that. I think the lessons from the one-stop shop approach is that when investors come into the country or even to a one-stop shop, the hallmark of a one-stop shop is basically on service delivery and turnaround. So firstly, it's advisory, service delivery, and turnaround time. So the officials at the one-stop shop first provide an advisory service, but then also to go within the respective domains and departments, fast track and unblock issues that are of concern or impediments to investments. So the hallmark is that the success of a one-stop shop is how you are able to provide a seamless service and improve the service delivery and turnaround time.
And before we actually ask the secretary just to announce if ever there is actually any information that you'd like to share with us, one would actually just like to thank you, Mr. Hussein, for the presentation. But we know that it's actually work in progress. But I think, obviously, I think we should be able to actually acknowledge and accept that we may be compared to those who may not be exactly in our kind of environment and exposure. But the reality is that there will be, because the point we were raising earlier of saying the different aspects which actually get presented every time when there's that kind of assessment, comparing countries, it's quite important to see how those regulations change, Mr. Hussein, because I think that's one point. Just to see how we managing or how we are adjusting as a country or how are we catching up compared to other countries. Particularly, you might find that those who are doing better might be slightly different than what we are. Maybe those issues are quite important to be able to be sorted out so that we can know what's the difference between us and them and what makes them actually make the progress that they are making compared to our space. So can we actually then thank you, Mr. Hussein, and then maybe ask the Secretary if ever there are any comments on issues that we may need to notice before we conclude our meeting.
Chair, the only matter that I would like to bring to the Minister's attention is the issue that we're having a meeting tomorrow dealing with intellectual property, and we have invited the Department of Science and Technology to form part of that briefing. But they informed us that they have been invited by their own principal committee to brief them on ICANN's matters. So they have requested that they be given another date to present their particular point of view on the intellectual property issues. So they will not form part of tomorrow's briefing, only DTI and CIPC. And we just have to find an alternative date for them to come and brief the committee on the legislation. Okay.
We'll just note that in terms of our program, it proceeds. It's just the science and technology part that will actually be missing. So can I actually then hope that we conclude our meeting and then we actually will convene tomorrow. What's the venue for the meeting tomorrow?
V119. Ground floor.
At
10.
At 9:30. Okay.
Say again?
Sorry.
No, it's the time, because it's
9:30 V119 tomorrow. Thank you very much, Mr. Minister.